In God we trust. Can you say that with me? In God we trust. One more time. In God we trust. It's a series I do. I've been doing a series like this for at least 2 weeks, sometimes three in the summer for the last 6 years. So we've got quite a volume of things that we put together. In God we trust. Why do we call it that? Most people don't know this, but you can figure it out pretty quick. If you pull out a coin, it says it on your coins, in God we trust. If you pull out some money, guess what the money says somewhere on the money? It says what? In God we trust. Why does it say that? Because a lot of people don't know this, but it was voted into law, enacted into law, that our nation's motto, our national motto, it could be a number of things. Guess what it is? It's in God we trust. And so years ago, I thought, how in the world can it be on our money? How in the world can it be our national motto? How in the world can it be chiseled in Washington and people still not get it? Separation of church and state. How many were here last week for the message on separation of church and state? Amen? So I think we answered some of those questions last week. Amen? So that's our national motto. That's who we are. I guess what got me going was years ago, you know, I heard more and more people say we're not a Christian nation. Well, that's bull. Quote me on the bull part, all right? It's crazy. We are a Christian nation. Does it mean everybody's a Christian? No. But does it mean we're founded by Christians? Absolutely. Were we founded on Christian principles? Absolutely. No one can deny that. You can try to deny it, but historically, you know, you're dead in the water. Amen? So we just started trying to educate a little bit. That's what we're going to do today with a message called Old Glory, the red, white, and blue. I was riding from North Carolina a few weeks ago with my son, Mitchell. And I said, Mitch, I got a series coming up in God We Trust, and why don't we just talk about it a little bit here on the road? Maybe you can help me. So this is one of the things that we came up with. How about a message on the flag? How about a message on the flag? I mean, everybody salutes the flag. We see the flag. And people really honor the flag and feel great about the flag, but they don't know anything maybe about the flag. Let's talk about it. So that's what we're going to do today. Say it with me. Old. Come on, one more time. Come on. Here we go. Old. The red, white, and. Let's go with the message now. Here we go. Now we're rolling. If you're here for the first time, I'll have you talk back with me a little bit. It really helps you to understand and get it down a little bit better, and you'll remember some things. The flag of the United States of America. On June 14th, 1777, that's almost a year after what? The Declaration of Independence. I mean, almost a year after the Declaration of Independence, the Continental Congress said, you know what? Man, we need a flag. We don't have a flag. I mean, we've got the Declaration, but this new nation stuff is working. And so they passed the first Flag Act on June 14th, 1770 what? Seven. And you can remember that. Today's 7-7, so you already got a bunch of the sevens already. Okay? On 1777, June 14th, they passed the first Flag Act. Resolved that the flag of the United States be made of 13 stripes, alternating red and white. That the Union be 13 stars, white on a blue field, representing a new constellation. So that's where your flag comes from this act, almost a year after we have become a what? A nation. It's crazy. So there's your flag. And Raj is going to have a lot of the flags up here today, so you're going to get to see it. See what it looks like. We're taking you back, man. There were several flag acts after that because this nation was growing. These 13 stars and stuff, that's not going to cut it. This country is growing, man. January 13, 1794, provided for 15 stripes and 15 stars. And then the country's still growing. April 4th, 1818, provided for 13 stripes and one star for each state to be added to the flag every what? 4th of July. Now see, you and I have had the 50 stars and the 50 states, but that's not the way it always was. And so July 4th, every July 4th, here's another one. Or here's four or five more states that are coming into the United States of America. Keep going. On June 24th, 1912, this is important.
This executive order established proportions of the flag and provided for arrangement of the stars in six horizontal rows, or eight each, a single point of each star, to be upwards. Until this act, there was no set standard for a flag. You can go back and see flags prior to this date made different ways. Stars are here, and this, that, and the other, and stuff like that. So they're like, hey, hold the phone. We ought to have one flag, and it'll look like this. Okay? Got it? That's what that act did. A couple of more of these. Executive order. Dwight D. Eisenhower was president. Provided for the arrangement of the stars in seven rows of seven stars, staggered horizontally and vertically, and Alaska becomes the 49th. State. How many remember that? You were here. You remember that? Remember that? Okay. Y'all probably said, what? Where is that place? Alaska. And then just a few months later, who would have ever thunk it? Look at this. August 21, 1959, provided for the arrangement of the stars in nine rows of stars, staggered horizontally, and 11 rows of stars, staggered vertically. And Hawaii becomes the 50th state of the United States of America. Can we praise the Lord for America? Come on. 50 states. Praise the Lord. There she is. Oh, glory. The red, white, and blue. Let's keep moving. Let's learn a little bit. Y'all ready to learn something or not? Say. All so far, we done just look at some flags. All right? Let's see if we can't learn a little something today. Who designed and made the first flag? And that would be a question. How many? Who made the first flag? Say it. See, a lot of y'all know Betsy Ross. Well, here's the deal. No one with absolute certainty knows. Okay, pretty good guessing going on out there. Keep going. Some pretty good guessing. Congressman Hopkinson seems to have designed the flag, and a Philadelphia seamstress named Betsy Ross made the first one. A lot of history on Betsy Ross. She went to Christ Church in Philadelphia, sat right next to George Washington. That'd been some church service to go to, wouldn't it? Right there, Betsy. Hi, George. Hi, Betsy. You never know. You never know. You never know. Come on. Come on. Here's a question for you. What is Flag Day? I mean, you know, here we got the 4th of July, and if you're like me, why, here's Flag Day. Who made Flag Day? You know what I'm saying? I'm being honest with you. I've thought about that. It just rolls along. What's Flag Day? You know what I mean? Why don't we get off for that, right? Is that what you're thinking? Stop it. Here we go. What is Flag Day? Well, it ought to click now in your mind. Flag Day is the anniversary of the flag what? On June what? 1777, almost a year after this nation became independent. That's right. That's beautiful. Listen. Flag Day is important. That's great, man. That's just right there with the Declaration of Independence. That's when we had our first flag, and it was resolved that that's what we would have. Flag Day, after I studied it, it means more to me now. You know what I mean? It's that flag comes like 3 weeks before we celebrate the 4th of July every year. You know? So we might think about that around here. It's pretty important, Flag Day. It was a proclamation by Woodrow Wilson on May 30th, 1916. People were already recognizing this as a great day, but it was not set in stone. Flag Day was celebrated, you know, in communities years after Wilson's proclamation, but it was not until August 3rd, 1949, that President Harry Truman signed an act of Congress designating, say it with me, June what? June what? June what? Of each day as National Flag Day. Amen? So now you know something. How many didn't know that? You didn't know that. Few of you knew it? Okay, not many. Here we go. Let's keep going. Old Glory, the red, white, and blue. Where does the name Old Glory come from? I'll give anybody in the audience that can answer this question $10. If you can tell me where Old Glory comes from, other than this man, you have to be specific. You could have got $10 just like that. Old Glory. Old Glory. It came from right here. Old Glory. Old Glory. Eh, you lost. Here we go. Wouldn't you like to know? Say, it's Old Glory, man. The Old Glory waves. Where does Old Glory come from? It's quite a story, Old Glory. Here we go. The famous name for the flag was coined by Captain William Driver. He was a shipmaster of Salem, Massachusetts in 1831. As he was leaving on one of his many voyages above the brig Charles Dockett, And this one would climax with the rescue of the mutineers of the HMS Bounty. Some friends presented him with a beautiful flag of how many stars? 24 stars. As the banner opened to the ocean breeze for the first time, he exclaimed, say it with me. Exactly. That's where it came from. He saw that flag blowing in the breeze and he went, oh, glory. I got a feeling, whether he knew it or not, coming out of his mouth was like, oh, glory to God. Glory to God for this great country. You hear me, yes or no? Don't you feel that way? Oh, glory to God for this great country. Let's keep looking. Well, he retired to all places, Nashville. Yeah. In 1837, he took his treasured flag from his sea days with him. By the time the Civil War erupted, most everyone in and around Nashville recognized Driver's Old Glory. When Tennessee seceded from the Union, rebels were determined to destroy his flag. But repeated searches revealed no trace of the hated banner. Then on February 25, 1862, Union forces captured Nashville and raised the American flag over the Capitol. It was a rather small flag. And immediately the folks of Nashville began asking Captain Driver if Old Glory still existed. Where is that flag? Happy to have soldiers with him this time, Captain Driver went home and began ripping back the seams of his bed cover. He had sewed it into the batting of his quilt. And there she was, Old Glory. Captain Driver's grave is located in the old Nashville City Cemetery. It's one of three places authorized by an act of Congress where the flag of the United States may be flown 24 hours a day. So how many knows now where it came from? Say, you feeling good about yourself? You feeling all educated and everything? Hey, look at that. We learned something. Okay? A caption above a faded black and white photograph in the book The Stars and Stripes and the state that Old Glory may no longer be photographed. And the flag was later donated to the what? Smithsonian. And you really can't ever see this flag anymore. Because of its condition. It is there at the Smithsonian, but you don't get to see it. I don't get to see it anymore. So, are y'all learning something? Say, if I bored you to tears. Come on, can you shake your head? Do something. Shake yourself. Okay, here we go. What about the Pledge of Allegiance? As I'm putting this message together, I'm thinking about things about the flag. What about the Pledge of Allegiance? Okay? On September the 8th, where did it come from, this pledge to the flag? Well, on September the 8th, 1892, the Youth's Companion magazine published a few words, say it with me, for who? To what? On Columbus Day of that year, okay? Because October 12th, 1892 was the 400th anniversary of Columbus' arrival to America. And on that particular day, more than 12 million children in the United States recited the Pledge of Allegiance. And it thus began a required school day ritual. Now, here's my question. How many went to a school where you were required every day to say the Pledge of Allegiance? Can I see your hand? Isn't that incredible? Look at that. It's craziness. America. Okay? Let's keep looking. Pledge of Allegiance. It was not until 1942 that Congress officially recognized the Pledge of Allegiance. Did you know Congress has always been slow? Say. When I put this message together, it's like, wait, y'all, like 100 years late. I mean, come on. Come on. Amen? Come on. But in 1942, they officially recognized the Pledge of Allegiance as the official pledge to the flag. But watch this. 1 year later, very, very liberal Supreme Court. We talked about it last week. In the 1940s, Hugo Black is the one that instituted. He led the majority of separation of church and state, and it's been a downhill slide ever since. You understand? Okay? 1943, 1 year after Congress recognized the Pledge of Allegiance, the Supreme Court comes along and says children could not be forced to recite it. Okay? Are you kidding me? I don't know anybody being forced to recite something. But when something like that is put into law, what happens in the future? People don't want to get in trouble. People don't want to do something. you know, or whatever. And so we just stop saying it. You hear me, yes or no? On June of 1954, I'm so glad for a man named Eisenhower. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm learning to love this man, and he loved this country. He was a general, and he was something special. And he lived during this time. He got to see a lot of this craziness that went on in the 40s. Are you listening or not today? And then this man came along. Oh, by the way, he's the one that helped institute In God We Trust. And he's the one that put it on your coins. And he, you understand? That was President Eisenhower. And in June of 1954, he added an amendment to the Pledge of Allegiance. Guess what those words are? Let's say them with me. Under God. One nation. One more time. One nation. Who did that? Eisenhower. One more time. One nation. Under God. And I want you to see, this little series is called In God We Trust. Let's look back and see why Eisenhower did that. President Dwight D. Eisenhower, we're going to put under God in our pledge. In this way, we are reaffirming the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and future. In this way, we shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons which will forever be our country's most powerful resource in peace and in war. Come on, this is from the general. From the general. I want to break that down. I won't take a lot of time. I want to look at under God. I just want to break those two statements down. Let's just give them their due today. Okay? We're talking about the flag and the Pledge of Allegiance. This is important, man. He said, first thing, in this way we're reaffirming the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and what? I love his words. Not just our heritage, where we came from, but where we're what? Where we're going. Just want to share some scriptures with you. Blessed is the nation whose God is the who? Is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. We're blessed when we follow God, when we believe in God, when we know we're a nation where we trust God, where it's one nation under God. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. 200+ years, almost 250 years now after our founding as a country, it's easy for us to think we did it, for us to become arrogant. Eisenhower didn't want that to happen. Amen? Keep looking. How about that second statement? In this way, we constantly strengthen, I love this line, those spiritual weapons which forever will be our country's what? Most powerful resource in what? Peace or war? Wow, what a statement. Let's look at some scriptures. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our what? Of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He knew that we needed something more. And this man had all the weapons, the latest technology of that day at his disposal. He was an incredible general before he was president. But he realized those weapons were not what we needed as a nation. Not near as important as these spiritual weapons. Y'all listening? That's where that came from. When you say it in the future, under God. Eisenhower put that in there. To help me fight spiritual battles. To help our country fight spiritual warfare. Did you know he did that? Say. That's exactly why he did it. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. 1 Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Say this with me. Say that first part. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what he was saying. It's a spiritual battle in America. We need God. We need His help. Lay hold on eternal life, for until you're called, you professed a good profession before many witnesses. That incredible chapter 6, talking about spiritual warfare. Just want to read it to you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Say that with me. Put on the whole armor of... Keep going. That you may be able to... Against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rules of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking to you the what? Whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are going to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hopefully you'll think of that a little more next time you hear of what? One nation under God. Why did He put it there? To remind us of where we came from with God's help. To remind us of where we need to go with God's help. To let us know, more important than anything in America is God. More important than anything in America is our reliance on God to help us fight spiritual warfare. Isn't that great? I didn't know that. One nation under God. Stand with me. Come on. We got to say the Pledge of Allegiance. It's our own flag. Come on. We're talking about the flag. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. We're not done either. You're being set back down, but don't think we're getting by without this. Are you ready? By the way, the proper way to pledge a flag to a flag is your hand over your heart. Okay? I read up on flag etiquette and all that this week. I learned a lot about the flag. Did you know this? People care about our flag. Did you know that? We ought to care too. Let's say our pledge to the flag. Here we go. Ready? Begin. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can we thank God we live in America? Make some noise. Come on. Praise the Lord. Be seated. I know you want to go home, but it ain't time. Man, I was up in everything. Where are you going? Trying to go home on us. Oh, no. No, that's okay. That's okay. Here we go. Here we go. Last thing about the flag. Well, when I looked at the flag, I had to find where it come from, when it was made, and who made it, and then Flag Day came along. Like, what's that? Pledge of Allegiance. Well, you can't have a message on the flag without why do we sing the Star Spangled Banner? Amen? Isn't that what happens? You sing the Star Spangled Banner and you look at the flag. Is that what happens? Yes or no? You find that flag wherever it is and you sing this great song. I'd like to close today with this portion. I have basically a whole message on the Star Spangled Banner. It's just an excerpt today. Why do we sing the Star Spangled Banner? Well, a fierce war had broken out in what year? When did America declare independence? So it doesn't sound like it was no picnic. Oh, we declare, we're free, we're good, okay, it's all good. Almost every one of the signers lost all their fortune. They said we pledge our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor when they signed the Pledge of Allegiance. Here it is, 25, 35 plus years later, and this nation is still fighting to be free. Are you hearing me today? Still fighting to be free. So, a war had broken out in 1812 over Britain's attempts to still regulate America. As if America wasn't its own country. And so they're regulating American shipping and other activities. So war breaks out. The British entered the Chesapeake Bay on August 19th. 2 years later now, 1814. And by the evening of the 24th of August, the British had invaded and captured Washington. They set fire to the Capitol, matter of fact, and to the White House, and you could see the flames over 40 miles away from Baltimore. Man, all hell's breaking loose in this new country. But wait a minute.
War of 1812, that was 1814. We need to backtrack.
Are y'all with me? Say backtrack.
Let's backtrack 1 year earlier to 1813. Why? Well, we're trying to figure out why we sing the Star Spangled Banner.
In 1813, at the star-shaped Fort McHenry in Baltimore, the commander, Major George Armistead, asked for a flag to be made. So war had broke out in 1812. Now, 1814 ain't happened yet. It's 1813. Got it? I was just letting you peek ahead a little bit. In 1813, he asked for a flag. I want it so big that the British will have no trouble seeing it from the distance. That's a big old flag. Come on. Two officers, a commodore and a general, were sent to the Baltimore home of Mary Young Pickersgill. She was a maker of colors and commissioned the flag. Mary and her 13-year-old daughter, Caroline, working in an upstairs bedroom, used 400 yards of the best quality wool bunting. They cut 15 stars that measured how much? 2 feet from point to point, 8 red and 7 white stripes. Each of them were 2 feet wide. They cut out and laid out the material on the malt house floor of Claggett's Brewery, a neighborhood establishment. The flag was sewn together. By August of 1813, it was finished. It measured 30 feet tall, 40 feet wide, and say that last part with me, and cost $405.90. Do what? Bigger than our billboard. Yep, bigger than our billboard. There you go. Keep going.
Now back to the battle. Washington has been captured. The Capitol burned. You can see it from 40 miles away.
In the days following the attack on Washington, the American forces prepared for the assault on Baltimore that they knew would come by both land and by sea. Word soon reached a well-respected young lawyer, say it with me, named Francis Scott Key, that the British had carried off an elderly and much-loved town physician named Dr. William Bean. And he was being held on the British flagship, Tonnant. The townsfolk feared that Dr. Beans would be hung. They asked Key for his help. Key agreed, and he arranged to have Colonel John Skinner, an American agent for prisoner exchange, to go with him. And on the morning of September 3rd, Key and Colonel Skinner set sail from Baltimore on a sloop flying a flag of truce approved by President Madison. On the 7th, they found and boarded the Tonnant to confer with General Ross and Admiral Alexander Cochrane. At first, they refused to release Dr. Beans. But Key and Skinner produced, say it with me, a pouch of letters written by wounded British prisoners, praising the care that they were receiving from the Americans. And among them was, say it with me, Dr. Beans. The British officers relented, but would not release the three Americans immediately because they had seen and heard too much about the preparations for the attack on Baltimore. So they were placed under guard, first aboard the HMS Surprise, then onto the sloop, and forced to wait out the battle behind the British fleet. That's some serious fireworks they saw. At 7 a.m. on the morning of September 13th, 1814, the British bombardment began. I love this line. Say it with me. And the flag was ready to meet the enemy. Can you say that again? The flag was ready to meet the enemy. You see why people love the flag now? All the soldiers, all the people fought, giving their lives for our country. The flag was ready to meet the enemy. The bombardment continued for how many hours? The British firing 1,500 bombshells that weighed as much as 220 pounds and carried lighted fuses that would supposedly cause them to explode when they reached their intended target. From special small boats, the British fired the new Congreve rockets that traced wobbly arcs of red flames across the sky. The Americans had sunk 22 vessels, so a close approach by the British was impossible. That evening, the cannonading stopped. But about 1 a.m. on the 14th, the British fleet roared to life, lighting the rainy sky with fearsome fireworks. Key, Skinner, and Beans watched the battle with apprehension. They knew that as long as the shelling continued, Fort McHenry had not surrendered. But long before daylight, there came a sudden and mysterious silence. Waiting in the pre-dawn darkness, Key waited for the sight that would end his anxiety, the joyous sight of General Armistead's great big flag blowing in the breeze. When at last daylight came, say it with me, the flag was still there. You ever heard that line in the Star Spangled Banner? Francis Scott Key, being so inspired, he began to write on the back of a letter that he had in his pocket. Sailing back to Baltimore, he composed more lines in his lodgings here at the Indian Queen Hotel, and that's where he finished the poem. Key's brother-in-law was Judge J.H. Nicholson. He took it to a printer, and copies were circulated around Baltimore under the title, say it with me, The Defense of Fort McHenry. Hang in here with me. We're almost done. It was printed in a newspaper for the first time in the Baltimore Patriot on September the 20th, 1814. Then in papers as far away as where? Georgia and New Hampshire. To the verses was added a note in the newspaper. Tune, if you want to sing it, tune Anacreon in heaven. What that was a familiar old bar tune. And I think it's funny because when you hear the Star Spangled Banner, it is like the weirdest tune ever of any song. Okay? It's really an old pub tune. Wasn't Key's idea for it ever be sung or anything. Somebody put that in the paper who had made it into like a little song. In October, a Baltimore actor sang Key's new song in a public performance, and he called it for the first time. Say it with me. That's where it came from. Y'all with me all right? Put you to sleep today? The song was finally adopted as our national anthem on March 3rd, 1931. Oh, glory, the red, white, and blue. Amen. The flag, our Star-Spangled Banner, went on view for the first time after flying over Fort McHenry on July 1, 1876. At the old State House in Philadelphia for the nation's centennial celebration. The flag now resides, say it with me, in the... How many have ever been there and seen that flag? Can I see your hands? A lot of you people in the audience today. By the way, an opaque curtain now shields the fragile flag from light and dust. The flag is exposed for viewing for just a few moments once every hour during museum hours. As far as Francis Scott Key, since May 30th, 1949, a U.S. flag has flown continuous by joint resolution of Congress over the monument marking the site of Francis Scott Key's birthplace in Tararuba Farm in Keymar, Maryland. Can you say that with me? I have a treat today for you. My son, Mitchell Clark, is going to come and sing the Star Spangled Banner. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, son. Praise the Lord. Hadn't heard him sing in a long time. I've been looking forward to it. Amen. Come on. Let's thank God we live in America. Get on your feet. Get on your feet.
Praise the Lord. Oh, say, can you see? By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Amen. Amen. Good day at the fellowship, church. Praise the Lord, man. Well, stay on standing with me. What a fitting end to a fine message. Amen. On the flag of the United States of America. One more time. Let's make some noise. Praise God that we live in America. Come on. We give him the credit. One nation under God. Amen.